And so, Rogelio, can you help me just close the outside door? Yeah, it's kind of loud. So how are you today? Welcome, Brian and Cindy back. Haven't seen Cindy for a while. I think it's wonderful that Brian will go back to Taiwan to bring her back, invite her back. That's the way to go. Yeah. Well, I thank God for vacation for 10 days. It's irony. Some people share with me when they come back from vacation, they need another vacation to recover from the vacation. You know, it depends what you were doing in the vacation. We need to be relaxed. In this vacation, I did have more time interact with my daughter, my son-in-law, and my grandson. You know, by the way, I let you know I'm going to have a granddaughter very soon. So really multiply. it's just a more time to interact with them, to listen to them, to understand where they are. One Sunday night, my daughter was invited to Radiant International House of Prayer in Hollywood. I just want to share with you, when I sit there and look at this, is my daughter who was playing the keyboard and led the whole congregation to worship. She herself enjoyed so much. You know, suddenly I just realized, wow, this is my daughter. Grow up. I really have chance to listen to his playing and leading, even though I have a website, you can see that. But that day I just say, wow, she really grew up. Huh? She lead, and the final song, she used his own song. You are my greatest, God is my greatest reward. You are my greatest reward. What you say, Joseph, what are you trying to say? I just say this is about a relationship. You know, I have a good vacation because I spend more time with my family member, interact. Also, in my vacation, I usually enjoy, I have more relaxed, have more quiet time. I not mean the quiet time with the Lord, only just more quiet time. Actually, I feel many times we need some time to be alone, to be quiet, to reflect, to meditate. In those quiet moments, I just feel the Lord impress on my heart is need to realign my relationship with Him and with people. And that's the thing I try to share today. It's part one, realign our relationship with God. By the way, I appreciate, thank for those who came yesterday to clean the garden. By the way, it's not an easy work because, say, how do you know? I was one of them. I work on that, pull all those weeds. It's not easy. They stop between the crack, right? It's quite an exercise. I appreciate that. I appreciate your work. That's also it's a relationship between us and the Lord, between us and this church, right? We came because we care. Actually, you look at the Christian faith, or you say, look at the Christianity. It can be summarized in one word, it's relationship, right? What is the greatest commandment? Love God with all our heart, all our mind, our soul, spirit, with whole being, right? And then likewise, love our neighbor as ourselves. It's a relationship with God and relationship with people. To summarize, that's our faith. But easy to say. So today I'd like to invite all of you, we reflect upon, focus on realigning our relationship with God. Generally speaking, I see there are four kinds of relationship with God. First kind is no relationship with Him at all. Before a person really born again, a person realized Jesus is his Lord and Savior, he cannot know God and will not have relationship with Him. The second kind is I call 911 relationship. A lot of people, they usually don't contact God. They don't think they need God until they are in the crisis, difficulty in life. They turn to the Lord. But this is not just relate. This is not just limited to the non-believer. This, a lot of Christians like that too, right? May I ask you, when do you more fervently to seek the Lord? Usually it's in the easy days or difficult days. It's hard to say, right? Some people say, oh, easy day. No. More likely you pray more fervently when situation is tough. It's out of control. Is that right? The problem with this kind of relationship is when the difficulty is over, the crisis is over, the person resumes his own pursuit of life until next crisis. So to God, to him, always is 911 service. You know, please help me, bail me out. A little bit different from this 911 relationship is asking for blessing relationship. This category of people, they know God a little bit more. You know, God is powerful, God is merciful, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. So they come to the Lord, ask for blessing. Bless me. It's nothing wrong. Dear brother and sister, I try to share this. It's nothing wrong to ask blessing from the Lord. But it is very shallow and limited if our relationship with him, just to asking the blessing. Amen? Think about, you have a friend. Every time he comes to you or she comes to you, just ask for your help. That's all he asks or she asks. What kind of relationship this? A little bit different from 911, but 911 relationship only for the urgent, difficult time. Asking for blessing relationship is ongoing, right? Ongoing. Do you think you will have a deep relationship with that person? It's very difficult, right? Almost the person continue living the mindset of receiving, asking. And the fourth category I will share today, maybe this will relate more of us, is a working relationship, or also include the legalistic relationship. I believe most of us here, maybe we struggle in this category. I'd like to share with you in the Luke chapter 15. We don't go there to read yet. In the Luke chapter 15, it's a familiar chapter. One time when Jesus was with all those social outcasts, you know, sinners, tax collectors. So the Jewish religious leader criticized him. Why he hang out with them? So Jesus gave a threefold parable. And on the third fold, he talked about a story about a father, a loving father, the interaction with two prodigal sons. How many of you know that? In the Bible, it seems like only one prodigal son, the younger son, the rebel. But actually, there were two there. And today, I will particularly focus on this to talk about this working relationship, including the legalistic relationship with God. This category of people usually are dedicated to the Lord, serving a lot. In a way, they sacrifice much. They are usually at the core group, co-worker of a church or parachurch or mission organization. This group of people are those who really dedicate to the Lord. But quite often, as they work hard, working for a long time, subtly, underline the word subtly, they focus switching from the Lord or works to the works of the Lord. I want to ask you, why is it easy to switch our focus? Why? Affirmation? Temptation. Okay, what kind of temptation is that? Why easily we switch our focus from God to his work? Yes. It seems like in the work, in serving the Lord, in the work, we easily to get a praise, affirmation, right? That means when it goes well, right? We're easy to switch that. In this parable in chapter 15, we know that it's the younger son, the young prodigal son. He got his inheritance. He left the house. He went far away. He lived his own life. There are many people like that today. And then he left the older son stay home. How many of you know this older son? I mean the name, the story. What did he do? He worked very hard. And he followed his father's order. And did a very good job. But unfortunately, he didn't have a good relationship with father. That's really puzzled me. Because if we do the expository, we try to study the scripture, we realize Jesus used this parable to depict father's heart to those who are lost, right? So this father must be compassionate, loving, kind of father, right? Is that right? So theoretically speaking, it should be easy to work for him. But according to scripture, it's a total different story. Okay, let's read together. How about that? Luke chapter 15, verse 28. About can we read together? Can you see it? can you see? Can that be larger or? Okay, thank you. Okay. Okay, I will read. That's all right. I will read. Verse 28. It says, the older brother became angry and refused to. Let me read from verse 25. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing, so he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Verse 27. Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed a fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. Verse 28, the older brother became angry and refused. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobey your orders. Yet you never give me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitute come home, you kill the fattened calf for him. Okay, just now we say, if we study the scripture, the father should be a very nice guy, easy to work for. But somehow, this older son have different perspective. May I ask you, what's the problem with this older son? Based upon what he said just now. That's why it's important we read the scriptures. What do you see? What do you see the problem? Okay, he doesn't enjoy it. But why he doesn't enjoy his father's existence? Because he feel he was a slave. But was that a reality? Was he a slave for his father, or he see himself as a slave? It's a perspective, right? Amen? It's nothing wrong to serve the Lord. It's nothing wrong to serve the Lord diligently. Nothing wrong to sacrifice or serve. But if we come to the stage, we feel we like a slave, work so hard, then we have to examine our heart about relationship with the Lord, right? May I ask you, does the Lord care for you more or care for you serving him more? What does he care? May I ask you, if you have a good relationship with your boss, with your employer, do you think it's easy for you to work for? The same work, same amount of work, same pay, okay? Relationship is important, right? If your relationship with your boss is good, it's easier for you to work even the same amount or maybe a lot of overtime, no extra pay. So I see that the problem with this older son is his perspective of his father, also his relationship with his father. And also he say here, he say, you know, I work for you all these years. And he say, never disobey your orders. It seemed like he paid attention to what he was doing. He probably even keep the record. But the problem with this older son was his relationship with father, just a work relationship. Also, do and don'ts relationship, right? So that kind of perspective and relationship is very hard to continue. And the father answer him is very interesting. You see, actually he say, oh, my inheritance is yours. All I have is yours. So in other words, technically speaking, if the older son works so hard, it's beneficial to whom? To himself. This is all yours. You actually work for you. You know, intellectually we know that, but in the heart, maybe he doesn't feel that way, for whatever the reason. I think we study the inner healing a little bit. We know the upbringing. Our relationship with our earthly father, with authority, will affect our perspective, our heavenly father. Amen? About our spiritual father. So we see that's the problem, is the working relationship. So what will be the desired intimate relationship with God? Is a loving relationship. The second point I want to share is a love relationship. We all know that. I ask you, dear brothers and sisters, is it easy to develop love relationship with people? I do not refer to romantic love. I mean the harmonious, loving people. Is it easy or not easy? Because people are complex, right? We have different kind of personality, different way of doing things, different way of thinking. In my vacation, you ask me, how was it? The first few days, I feel, is very challenging. You know, my son-in-law, my daughter came from Kansas City. We were not together for a long while. I didn't communicate with them that often. Marlene did. They are into the healthy food, healthy diet mindset. Okay? They came there. They said, oh, we got to be healthy, fit. Everything can be healthy. And I went there. I tried to be relaxed. I just came out of a very unhealthy work pattern, you know, slept little. So I went there. I want to, you know what I want? I want to be relaxed. Is that right? I want to eat some food I'm familiar with. Right now, suddenly, I have a new diet. Everything is healthy. And also, dear brother and sister, very expensive. You have to pay the price. Organic, you know, not genetic. Alternate food. You have to go certain place like Whole Food, you know. Eat in the true food. Buy grocery from the Whole Food. And the price increase high. So it's pretty stressful. Every time, well, we got to be healthy. And to them, that's the way it is. To me, it's cross-cultural. So immediately, we need to sit down and talk, right? We need to... I need to know where you came from. You need to know where I came from, okay? And that we develop some. Till the end, I compromise more. I kind of surrender. Because I realize the bottom line is good for my health. Amen? It costs more, but it's good for my health. But the thing is, still need to dialogue, right? You need to dialogue. You need to understand. I feel when we come to the Lord, the same thing. We need to dialogue with the Lord. We need to develop a loving relationship from the last four category to come out of that. How can we, the desire intimate relation with God as a loving relation, first is as his children. I sense this is very important. This is a foundational. You need to know and live out that you're a child of God. This is very important because this will affect, if you know you're a child of God, you'll have easily to have a self-confidence because you know who you are, right? We all live in the society. Relatively speaking, people compare us. We compare ourselves with others all the time, right? we know if we don't like ourselves, we cannot like anybody. How can you like yourself if you don't feel you're worthy? You don't feel you're worth, you're someone come to this world with a purpose. The first thing we need to know, we are His children. In order to have a love relationship with Him, we need to know also we are His friend. How many of you know you are God's friend? I just feel Christianity is very unique. Huh? In other religion, they never view their God as their friend. You go to Buddha's temple, they never see Buddha as their friend or those idols as their friend. They just worship those idols, right, with awe, with fear. Amen? In the John chapter 15, verse 15, Jesus said, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Today, through the Holy Spirit, God can reveal his heart to you and me. You can know what's on God's heart. Do you know that? About your career, about your future, you can have an intimacy with Him because you are Jesus' friend. How many of you believe that you are Jesus' friend? Jesus is your friend. Hallelujah. Jesus is your friend in your workplace. Jesus is your friend in your parenting, in your marriage, in any difficult situation. We know that a friend in need is a friend indeed. Sometimes we have many acquaintances. We have many people hang around with you when you're successful, when you have a lot. But in the crisis, in difficult time, you'll find out who is your friend or who is not your friend. But I want to encourage you, really, there's a one friend called Jesus. You can call him anytime, right? Even with your best friend. Sometimes you are in such a difficult time, you cannot call him or call her because it's at midnight, because it's sometime the person is not in this country. Amen? Jesus is your friend, and the God is your Father. We are His children. The intimate relation, desire intimate relation with God, the third one, the deeper one, higher one is we are His lover. I'd like to read the Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 2 to 4. I just read to you. It's amazing that our God is our lover and we are His lover. Verse 2, let Him kiss me with the kisses of His mouth, for your love is more delightful than wine. Pleasing is the fragrance of your perfumes. Your name is like perfume poured out. No wonder the young women love you. Take me away with you. Let us hurry. Let the king bring me into his chambers. And then there's a friend's words and her words again. This is in the Song of Solomon, Song of Songs, chapter 1. You have a chance, you can read yourself. It's a love song. It's depicting a romantic love between Sumanai woman and the king Solomon. Here it records that woman's adoration, fascination with King Solomon. He say, you attract me, take me away with you, let's hurry, let's have intimacy. And this also illuminates in the new covenant is our relationship with Jesus. Jesus is your lover. How does that sound to you? Maybe we are not there yet, but think about that. How many of you already experienced that you are children of God in reality, not just knowledge? Raise your hand. How many of you already live the reality that Jesus is your friend, God is your friend? How about the lover? Wow, good. Maybe all of you are His lover, but remember that. How will a lover treat you? Show a lot of love to you. See, everybody answers differently, right? So you say, Pastor Joseph, how can we step into that kind of loving relationship with God? First, it's knowing God's love through experiencing of His total forgiveness and acceptance. May I ask you, when we sin, we will have the sense of guilt and the shame, right? When we sin, we know something wrong we shouldn't do, but we did it. There's a consequence. We don't feel good about ourselves. The classical example was in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve used to take a walk with God every day until one day they both sinned. They both fell. So what did they do? They hit themselves, right? God has to ask, Adam, where are you? When we sin, there's a sense of guilt and shame. We want to hide ourselves, but it doesn't resolve the issue. All the religion in this world tell us you have to do good works. Can that good works compensate for our sin? They say, we don't know. Just do your best, right? It's all about good works. We praise the Lord. Jesus had done something. If we confess our sin, the Lord is righteous. He will forgive our sin, remove that condemnation from our heart. Dear brother and sister, it's really blessed when a person sins, his sin has been forgiven. The songless say that. We all sin, but we need to experience the total forgiveness and acceptance by God. When you experience that in deep way, you really start to understand His love. Amen? In the last 2 years, we at the evangelist rally among the few Chinese churches. We have a Kingdom Prayer Center here right now, moved to our church. There are four or five churches here. We meet every Thursday night. In the last couple of years, we had an evangelistic rally. The speaker was a gangster from Hong Kong. He shared about his life. He shared about his past. His mother was a godly woman evangelist, shared gospel with people. He said every time his mother went out to share, some people opposed his mom. He said, if you are your God so powerful, why your son still a notorious gangster? He always say about that. But every time when he share the message in this evangelistic rally, I'm just so encouraged to see who he is right now. I remember one time, there's our church member. How many of you know Grandma Zhao, who passed away? His son came here, and he said, I know this guy. He was a notorious gangster. What he's doing here, he's a pastor right now. He's God's servant. And this guy always shared about how much he appreciated God forgive him and accept him. I think in order to really experience God's love, we need to know God's love. We need to experience His total forgiveness and acceptance. Secondly, receive God's love and respond to Him with love. Bible says we love because He loved us first. Dear brother and sister, it's very simple in a way. There's no gimmick. What you should do is you and I experience God's love and respond with love. Amen? Just like horizontally, people show love to you, respond love with. Even people show hatred to you, you still show love to them. It's receive and responding. So if God is our Father, we are His children, we should respond to Him as a children, right? Tell Him, Daddy, in the worship time, in the prayer time, say, Daddy, I love you. I care. I thank you for your love. Amen? Just like that. If God is your friend, you tell Him whatever in your heart. This is my struggle. This is the difficulty. I have a problem with this person. I have a problem with my boss. This my financially very tight. You communicate to him. How many of you had the experience that when you communicate to Jesus, you pray to God, you actually hear he respond to you? How many of you? Yes, right? In the impression in your heart, with the word, right? That's how you build a relationship. Your responding can be increasing. Tell him more. Sometimes we like to confide our burden in people. I tell you, the best way you confide your burden in Jesus. Because people only can handle so much. Everybody have burden, right? Everybody have difficulty. You cannot tell people about all your problems, but you can tell Jesus all your problems. But not just tell him the problem, right? Give him praise, right? We had a wonderful gardening day yesterday. Amen? We accomplished a lot. You can take a look. All the weeds almost all gone. Almost. Because they might come back. We need to do something more. People work hard. We appreciate Marlene provided food for us. Right? That soup was very good. I had three of them. Wow. Right? We tell the Lord. We communicate. Say, Lord, thank you. If you already come to the stage, you sense the Lord is your lover. You tell him you love him. It's about his attribute, his beauty, his wonderfulness. When you do that, your relationship with him grow. Same thing with the horizontal, right? With the spouse. The same thing. How can we step into the loving relationship with God, partner with him to do his work, not our work? We love God, we will work with him. But the important here is partner with him. Amen? His burden is light. His yoke is easy. You partner with him. When you work with someone, you will start to know that person more. Is that right? When you work with God, you start to know the way he does things. Usually it's not as fast as we thought. Amen? It's not as narrow as we are. It's not as finite as we are. Amen? Still, it's New Year. It's March 1st, the new month. May the Lord invite us to realign our relationship with God. He's our Father, our friend, our lover. We need to experience his total forgiveness, acceptance, ongoing, continually, so we know his love. We're receiving his love, responding to him with love. We partner with him to do his work, not ours. Can someone invite our younger generation to come join for the Holy Communion? This Holy Communion, this bread and cup, also is a symbol of our relationship with God, right? Jesus made a covenant with us through his death. This bread referred to his body being broken for each one of us. This cup referred to his blood being shed for each one of us. So we come to him. Our sin can be forgiven. We become children of God. So I'd like to invite those who receive Jesus as Savior and the Lord, has been baptized unto the Church of Jesus Christ, to come forward to take the bread and cup. After you take this, you back to your seat, you stand there, you pray, you give thanks for this, you reconcile your relationship with him. In any way you offend people, offend God, ask for his forgiveness, then we'll take the bread and cup together. How about from the last row, we come forward, each one we take the bread, take the cup. Back to your seat, remain standing and pray and have some fellowship time with the Lord.